Reverend Fathers, Venerable Sisters, dear parishioners, dear guests, again, a very Merry Christmas to you. And what I would like to share with you this evening, or this night, is an angelic view of Christmas. In other words, I would like to tell you more about the angels, how they celebrate Christmas, and to relate it to ourselves. My dear brethren, when we look at the Bible, the inspired Word of God, we see innumerable times, it seems, references to these pure spirits created by God and who are greatly involved in the history of our universe, in the history of the world, in the history of the incarnation and the redemption. I'm pleased to note that our closing hymn today after Mass will be Angels We Have Heard on High. And as I said, I hope to convey to you a little more how the angels look upon and celebrate Christmas. As I said, many, many times in Scripture we find references to angels. We know that there was a great battle in heaven between Michael and the good angels who conquered Lucifer and the fallen angels, the ones who would not serve God. We know that when our first parents fell, two cherubim were placed at the gate of the earthly paradise to keep everyone out. We know that as the Israelites were leaving Egypt, the tenth plague was the angel of death slaying by God's command the firstborn of the Egyptians because no other plague would get the message across to the Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go. And that angel was an instrument of God's justice. We see, of course, the more benign, the beautiful story of St. Raphael assisting Tobias. And now we come to the angels involved in the first Christmas. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a virgin to announce to her that she was to become the mother of God. God himself could have appeared to Mary, but no, he sends a messenger, an angel. And upon Mary's response hung the future of the entire human race. What was going to happen? The virgin said yes to the angel, and the Word was made flesh. The angel will appear, another angel will appear to St. Joseph and tell him, "Do not be afraid, Joseph, for of her is begotten, or within her, of that which is begotten in her is of the Holy Ghost." And then, of course, the angels on Christmas night appearing to the shepherds and singing that marvelous hymn that we hear at so many masses throughout the year, the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men of goodwill. The angels proclaimed it, they sang it. How beautiful, how beautifully does an angel sing anyway? Well, one idea we could get from the life of St. Francis, who was allowed to hear an angel play one note on a violin, a heavenly violin. He said it was so beautiful it nearly tore his soul out of his body. So imagine what the shepherds heard on Christmas night. Not just the finest choir on earth. This is a choir from heaven singing glory to God in the highest. An angel will appear to Joseph to tell him to flee into Egypt, for we know what Herod was going to do with the little boys in Bethlehem. Slay them. An angel will appear to Joseph after Herod's death in Egypt and said, you can return now. Come back to Israel. And then we see again, incident after incident, angels involved in the life of Christ. They ministered to him after his fast in the desert for 40 days. An angel strengthen him in his agony in the garden. And of course, angels heralded his resurrection. And we shall see angels at the end of the world calling us and all who have ever lived to resurrection and to judgment. So you see, my dear brethren, the angels are very much part of our holy Catholic faith. They are real. They are pure spirits. We cannot see them, but they are no less real, and they can do mighty things. As we know, God has given to us each an angel as well to help us in our journey. And although it is not biblical, that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, conveys so well how hard an angel works. Remember the story? It's just a novel. How hard that one angel has to work to get his wings. But really, all of our angels have earned their wings, so to speak, in their prayer and labor for us. So having said all these things about the angels, how do they view Christmas? How do they view the mystery of the Incarnation? How do they view this holy night? Well, it's hard for us to grasp because they are so far above us, but truly an angel celebrates Christmas with a joy and a love that we'll never be able to really fathom, at least not in this life. You see, my dear brethren, angels love God. They see God. They pray all the time. And they focus on what's really important, which is God and His teachings and the salvation of souls. These are the things that matter to angels. And angels always do God's will. They are humble. They accepted God's will. Remember that big test that angels were put to in the beginning? And the ones that rebelled against God were told they could no longer stay in heaven. They would not submit. They were too proud to accept that God was going to become man someday and save us poor sinners. Their pride would not allow them to kneel around the stable, to kneel around the manger, and to worship God become man. So I think we can see what an angel sees, at least a little bit better. And my dear brethren, it should be obvious to us that the more we are like the angels, the more we are pleasing to our Lord in his manger. If we pray a little better, grow in our prayer life, if we grow in the virtues, if we grow in humility, if we grow in love, we're becoming more like the angels. You know, there's a story of a holy monk who was in an argument with the devil one time. And the devil began to compare the monk to himself and said, you know what, in many things you're like me. You fast a lot. Well, I don't need any food at all because I'm a spirit. You stay up late at night saying long prayers. I never sleep. You know, I think elevated thoughts. You do too. But there's one thing I can't do that you do. Is I will not humble myself. So, my dear brethren, I think we have it there that if we can be like the angels in their love, in their humility, and they're doing God's will, we will understand more of their joy as they celebrate Christmas. To be more like the angels, that is a spiritual goal for us. As I said, angels are humble. They love to do God's will. They love to serve the king and the queen. As St. Louis de Montfort tells us, St. Michael considers it one of his greatest honors to be asked by the heavenly queen to go fulfill a duty of some kind. He knows it is his privilege, and he does it eagerly. And that leads me, my dear brethren, to reminding you that it is no mere child that is in that manger. It is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yes, he is the King of Angels. And may I also remind you that his heavenly mother is the Queen. And this is something that is so clearly evident from the Bible, but I think in our modern way of thinking, we forget this relationship between Mary as queen and Jesus, her son, as king. You know, in our terms, in our modern world, we think of the king as, or the queen as being the wife of the king. But may I emphasize that it was not so in the Old Testament. It was always the mother of the king that was the queen. We see, for example, when the wife of David comes in to see King David, she has to prostrate before him. But after David dies and his son Solomon becomes king, and that same person walks in, instead of prostrating, King Solomon stands up for her. And so the chosen people knew very well when they came to that realization that this child was God incarnate, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, King of Angels, King of Mankind. As soon as they realized that, then automatically they knew that his mother was the queen. And so the angels, my dear brethren, bring us to the stable, do they not? They told the shepherds to come. And they told very clearly how they would find him, wrapped in swaddling clothes. So the angels bring us to the stable. And we behold there the queen and the king. Always remember, my dear brethren, that the surest way to Jesus is through Mary. We will see him throughout this Christmas season in her arms, helplessly dependent upon her. Again, Almighty God himself. And yet he minds not. Indeed, he loves being in the arms of his mother. And he says to us, do not be afraid to honor my mother. Do not be afraid to love my mother. She is your mother. She is your queen. And I am the king. So, my dear brethren, I urge you to your devotion to Mary, even as we reflected upon how the angels view Christmas, and I hope you understand them a little better. I hope you understand even better, even more, the Queen of Angels. And she will lead you to the King. Are we not privileged to be here at Mount St. Michael? This is, in a sense, an angelic institute, because it is under the great leader of the angels, St. Michael. And no matter what the future holds, my dear brethren, and there's always room for worry and concern for this world in which we live, the way things are going, let us remember to stay close to the King and the Queen. Let us remember our devotion to the holy angels, and they will help us now and always to understand the true meaning of Christmas. They will always be our friends, interceding for us, carrying messages from us to God, and messages from God to us. So again, I wish you a very joyous Christmas celebration. May the divine King and his holy mother bless you abundantly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.